पूर्णम उत्थाय
सुप्रभातम् पूर्णम उत्थाय
कालोयमिति विह्वलः श्रुति गृहम् अगाध पूर्णम् प्रस्कोलान् मुक्तमूर्धजः सतल्पात् पूर्णम् उत्थाय कालोयम् इति विह्वलः सुति गृहम् अगात् पूर्णम् प्रस्कोलान् मुक्तमूर्धजः
Sahi,
King Kamsa,
King Kamsa,
Talpat,
Talpat,
from the bed, Turnam,
Turnam,
very quickly,
Uttaya,
Uttaya, getting up,
Kalaha Ayam,
here is my death, the supreme time, Iti.
In this way.
Vihwalaha. Overwhelmed. Suti Griham. To the maternity home. Agat. Went. Turnam.
Without delay.
Praskolan.
Scattering.
Mukta had become opened. Murdajaha, the hair on the head. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Kamsa immediately got up from bed, thinking, here is Kala, the supreme time factor, which has taken birth to kill me. Thus overwhelmed, Kamsa, his hair scattered on his head, at once approached the place where the child had been born. Purport. The word Kalaha is significant. Although the child was born to kill Kamsa, Kamsa thought that this was the proper time to kill the child, so that he himself could be saved. Kala is actually another name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When he appears only for the purpose of killing. When Arjuna inquired from Krishna in his universal form, who are you? The Lord presented himself as Kala, death personified to kill. By nature's law, when there is an unwanted increase in population, Kala appears. And by some arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, people are killed wholesale in different ways. By war, pestilence, famine, and so on. At that time, even atheistic political leaders go to a church, mosque, or temple for protection by God or gods and submissively say, God willing. Before that, they pay no attention to God, not caring to know God or His will. But when Kala appears, they say, God willing. Death is another feature of the Supreme Kala, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At the time of death, the atheist must submit to the Supreme Kala. And then the Supreme Personality of Godhead takes away all his possessions. Mityuk sarvaharas chaham. And forces him to accept another body. Tata dehantara praptihi. This the atheists do not know. And if they do know, they neglect it so that they may go on with their normal life. The Krishna Consciousness Movement is trying to teach them that although for a few years one may act as a great protector or great watchman, with the appearance of Kala, death, one must take another body by the laws of nature. Not knowing this, they unnecessarily waste their time in their occupation as watchdogs and do not try to get the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As it is clearly said, Aprapyamam, Nivartante, Mrityu Samsara Vartmani. Without Krishna consciousness, one is condemned to continue wandering in birth and death, not knowing what will happen in one's next birth. Conditioned souls are varied. Boshaka anantascha, buddhayo vyavasayinam. Those who are not fixed in spiritual awareness, their intelligence is many-fold. That means they have different ambitions. It's people in the mode of passion who are very ambitious. People in the mode of ignorance don't have much ambition at all. Their ambition is to fill their belly and sleep comfortably. This is tamogun ambition. And the person in the mode of goodness, he's got mild ambitions. Nothing really harmful. But it's the people in the mode of passion that make all the trouble. And they become the prominent members of human society. Some of them are after money, and they become rich and powerful by virtue of their money. Others go for political power. They figure, if I have enough power, I can take whatever money I want anyway. Kamsa is in that category very much. Very prominent example of a person out after power. And he got all the power that can be gotten in the material world. The demigods fled their kingdom in fear of him. And they walked around on the earth incognito, in disguise, out of fear of Kamsa. That's Kamsa? Nope, I'm thinking of Hiranyakashipu. I'm getting mixed up. Sorry. Anyway, Kamsa also. Not on the scale of Hiranyakashipu. But also, he's very much trying to be the controller. But he knows that he has one opponent that he cannot defeat, and that is Kala, death. Because he's a sinful demon. Only the devotees could ignore death. Like Dhruva Maharaj was able to step on the head of death and enter the Vaikuntha airplane. So we can step over the head of death or just ignore death. Yeah, but the sinful atheists, they have to deal with death. And Kamsa is very much obsessed with his coming death. The wages of sin is death. If you're sinful, you're going to have to die. And you have to, that is a fact of your life. Kala is also a name of the personality of Godhead. Because Krishna is time. He's Mahakala. He's the original source of that potency of time. Time controls everything. Of course, Kala also means black. And therefore, Krishna in Puri, Orissa, they call him Kaliya. They call Krishna Kaliya. Because he's black. Jagannath is black. But it means time also. Kalosmi. This even the materialists recognize the Lord as time, as death. So one or two people die, it doesn't even get into the newspapers. But when a lot of people die unexpectedly, when there's great catastrophes, that's headlines. When there's great wars and slaughter of millions of people, then people pay attention. Then they go to they flock to the places of worship and pray to God for his mercy, even though other times they don't pay any attention to God and think they don't need his mercy. Hare Krishna. When I was in Lithuania, we wanted to visit America for a short trip, and I had to try to get my wife a visa, even though she's a Soviet citizen. So I went to the American Embassy in Vilnius, Lithuania. Just a letter from the BBT, from the local BBT, saying that we work for the BBT, and therefore she has no intention of trying to stay in America. We're just going for a visit because she has obligations. She has to come back to Lithuania to work. Okay, so we went there with that letter, seeing whether maybe we can get her a visa. Because they're worried that that you know she's not yet a naturalized citizen. She'll try to sneak in and stay in the United States. So they were skeptical, and they brought the chief counselor. It was a small consulate, small country, small embassy. And the chief consulate interviewed me, and he said, it "says here on the letter that you're a Sanskrit translator. You really know Sanskrit?" So he asked me, "I'll test you one question. What did Robert Oppenheimer, the American scientist, the head of the project to develop the atomic bomb for the United States, what did he say? What did he quote when he witnessed the first atomic bomb being exploded?" I said, "Oh, Kalos me, lokakshayakshvid pavid ho." And he said, "Yes, you're right, Bhagavad Gita, time I am, destroyer of the world." He said, "Okay, I'll give you the visa." So that's recognized even by the materialists. That's impressive. When Krishna appears in such a form to destroy thousands and hundreds of thousands of people at one blow. But Krishna can do that easily. Mrityu sarvahadas chaham. I kill everybody. Everybody who's been born in this world, I'm going to kill them. Can any other mass murderer, you know, atrocious person in history, can you match that? This is chapter Atrocities of King Kamsa. You know, he caused so much trouble, he killed some people. You know, and therefore he's atrocious. And that's the theme of the chapter. But here's a counter theme, that Krishna kills everybody. He can be more atrocious than Kamsa. He kills everybody, without exception. Innocent, guilty, everybody is killed. And I'm the one who does it. Mrityu sarvahadas chaham. It's not just that those who don't like me blame me for this unfairly, but I'm claiming that I am death. I'm killing everybody, and I admit it. And takes away all possessions. This is Hari, who takes everything away. Of course, Prabhupada gives the example that Krishna has got 8 arms, and he's taking away with some of those arms and giving his devotees with some of the other arms. Krishna takes everything away from those who need to be chastised, but those who are submissive to him, Krishna is happy to give them everything, including his own self. And he, after trying to give away his own self, he feels indebted to his devotees that he can't pay. He feels insolvent that he's unable to pay his debt to his devotees. He says that to the gopis, but he also says it to Uddhava in terms of his devotees in general. Because I give myself in the sense of I give myself in my impersonal form to the materialists who simply are renunciants and want liberation. Not materialists, but atheists. Persons who don't have any faith in me, they want impersonal liberation, and they work hard for it. I give myself in the form of impersonal Brahman to them. So having given myself away, even to those who have no devotion for me, what's left to give to my devotees? I feel I can't pay them, I cannot pay them. Krishna tries to give. Actually, the devotees are satisfied. If Krishna sends some prasadam, maybe a little bit of electricity once in a while, then the devotees are satisfied. Very easily satisfied. But Krishna feels indebted. And it's not that Krishna is some schizophrenic person with 2 contrary personalities, that he's terrible time on one hand, and the friend and benefactor of his devotees on the other. His imposing death upon the godless is also his kind mercy. We don't see death. It's very hard for us when it's our death we're talking about, to accept death as a beneficial thing, as an act, being killed as an act of kindness. But this is what a devotee should evolve his consciousness to the point of being able to accept our own death as Krishna's kindness, and to accept it and live with it, you know, because it's going to happen. And it won't necessarily happen in the most pleasant way and exactly when you want it. But we don't have to be like Kamsa. The minute that someone says, oh, death is here, jump out of bed terrified. No, we should be ready for death at any moment and not in anxiety, obsessed by the idea. Death is just a change of body. Tata dehantara praptihi. Prabhupada quotes the line here. Dhiras tatra namuhyati. A sober person, and that can only be a devotee, is not bewildered by the fact of imminent death. Whereas a non-devotee, an adhira, unsober person who has not really controlled his mind, like Kamsa, proof is that I'm mixing up Kamsa and Hiranyakashipu, because we're reading about both of them. Like Hiranyakashipu or Kamsa, either one of them, they're adhira, unsober. And when they are forced to think about death, or death is right in front of them, then they lose all their wits. Hiranyakashipu also, he preached so learned, in such a learned way, to the widows of his brother Hiranyaksha, showed himself to be a great pundit and in knowledge of the reality of the soul. But when confronted by his death, he was helpless. When his own son proved to be on the side of the one who killed his brother, Hiranyakashipu could not tolerate it. Yeah. Even though he was so invincible, no one could oppose him. But here was his own son, you know, his own beloved, you know, son, appearing as his only opponent, the proponent of his enemy. And he couldn't do anything. He was helpless. And he acted so atrociously. So this is atrocities of King Kamsa. In the seventh canto, we'll read about the atrocities of Hiranyakashipu, all perpetrated against mainly his own son. This is adhira. What is it Vasudev says, you know, or is Prabhupada in the purport? Incredibly wicked thing can an atheistic person not do? You know, he can, if one is, mainly because of not acknowledging the supremacy of God and trying to usurp the position of God and be all-powerful oneself, one becomes uncontrolled and able to commit any atrocious thing. Especially the politicians. People whose ambition in life is to have power over other people. In order to get that power, you have to do atrocious things. Even in a democracy, even in a so-called non-violent society, the politicians are usually much worse than the other people. They're very avaricious and do atrocious things. They're actually just watchdogs. Their real business is simply to serve the public. But that is not their ambition. Their ambition is to have all power and to be able to use other people for their own purposes, exploit other people. Prabhupada wraps it up as clearly said, Aprapya mam divartante mityu samsara vartmani. The materialists, they waste their lives, make no endeavor to even try to achieve Krishna consciousness. And having not realized Krishna in this life, they have to take birth again. Nivartante, they return into the cycle of birth and death. Not only have to take birth again, but because of their sinful behavior, they have to take a lower birth. A birth in the lower species of life. They have to go to hell. They have to become an animal. Prabhupada says, without Krishna consciousness, one is condemned to continue wandering in birth and death, not knowing what will happen in one's next birth. So, Kamsa is a very rare person. We don't see, even in modern history, we don't see someone like Kamsa. We have horrible people, Hitlers and others, Mao Zedong and Stalin, horrible people who did atrocious things and sought to, and arranged for the killing of intentionally of tens of millions of people. But compared to Kamsa, Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, these are very small demons. Mostly we're dealing with small demons in modern age. But still, they do their best to be atrocious. In their own small ways, they're behaving atrociously. People are families, in the family, the family members are behaving atrociously to one another. Children to their parents, parents to the children, wife and husband among one another. They're behaving atrociously, according to their capacity. They only have a small capacity. They only have a small scope of control. But even though they only control one or two other people, they manage to do it atrociously. That's the influence of Kali Yuga. Democratic. Instead of having one or two really big demons, everyone's a demon in his own house. Small demons. And if you're, got some position in your occupation, you're in charge of three other employees, you make sure that their lives are miserable and do your job as poorly as possible. Atrocity on every small level. Anyway, we're reading now about the glorious atrocities of Kamsa. Atrocities that deserve to be recorded in history. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes.
When the ministers were canceling Kamsa, then they were saying that all the demigods are afraid of strength of your power. The minister said that to Kamsa that all the demigods are afraid of the strength of your bow.
Of your bow?
Yeah. And, is there some instance where Kamsa
used a bow?
Was attacking the demigods or?
No. I don't think it came to that. I think they gave up without a fight. They just... Wait, Kamsa and the demigods. Oh, no, I'm thinking again of Hiranyakashipu. Sorry. Kamsa? No, I think they're exaggerating, the ministers.
Okay.
Maybe in his... Well, Kamsa was Kalanimi in his previous... Maybe in his previous life was Kalanimi. But, no, Kamsa's... I don't think his scope of influence extended more than part of the middle part of India. No. And maybe, they're just speculating that, this is just panegyrists, flatterers, telling the king that even the demigods are startled by your exploits. But it's just flattery. Okay. Yes, sir. There's some correspondence, although it's not exact. Jiva Goswami makes the point that there isn't really an exact correspondence of one topic for each canto, that the topics are spread out through many, some appear in all the cantos. I think it was mostly Prabhupada's poetic genius that he just liked the dramatic effect of giving these names. So I think the purpose was poetic rather than scientific.
But it was Prabhupada.
It was Prabhupada chose, yeah. As far as I know, I don't see in the commentaries this list of 12 cantos with 12 names, 12 topics. Yes?
10 topics, not 12.
Yeah, there are 10 topics. And then, Jiva Goswami discusses this. What are you going to do? Leave off two cantos? You only got 10 topics, supposedly, for the Bhagavatam. Then, are you going to argue that the first two cantos don't really belong to the Bhagavatam because Shukadeva didn't start speaking until... Well, he didn't speak the first canto. And then he didn't speak most of the 12th canto. He could chop off the first and 12th cantos. And then he got 10 cantos, and then he can give 10 topics. But Jiva Goswami argues against that. Anyway, Prabhupada came up with 12 titles. Anyway, that's poetic. That's his you know, he's the publisher, the editor, publisher, translator. He can do that. You know, editor, publisher of a book can add subtitles. That's allowed. Even if they weren't there in the original. Okay, anything else?
Kamsa seemed to have so many demons under his control. He used to have so many demons under his control. So, but then, and they seem to be really powerful ones.
Yes.
But yet he did not expand his empire beyond a certain level. You know.
He didn't.
His empire. His
It's explained in the Mahabharata that at the end of Dwapara Yuga, demons and devotees were coming down to the earth to fight their proxy war on the earth. You know, instead of up in heaven, they came down, took birth in various families. And this is just part of the picture. Kamsa with some of the demons in Mathura. There are demons all over the place throughout India that took birth. And in a Kurukshetra battle, war, they were all taken care of. All these demons and demigods killed each other off. But Kamsa, see, he had been Kalanemi in his previous life. So he was killed by the Supreme Lord, but because it wasn't Krishna, the original form, he didn't get his liberation immediately. He had to take birth again. And he got blessings. You get benefit by being killed by the Lord. If you don't get liberation, because you have no attachment to him, basically. Problem thing is that Krishna is supremely attractive. So those who meet Krishna, they become very attracted to him. And on the basis of that attraction, they get liberation when they're killed by him. If you're killed by the Supreme Lord in some other form, you get secondary benefits, but you don't get liberation. You have to come back and get killed again. But coming back again at the end of Dwapara Yuga means coming back in a time when the potencies of the universe are very much depleted. You know, just before the beginning of Kali Yuga, mode of passion had just almost expended itself, and people and things were becoming devoid of potency compared to before. So therefore, it's because of the time that he took his birth that Kamsa and Shishupal and Jarasandha, they couldn't conquer heaven. Their powers were limited, even though in their previous lives they were much more powerful. Shishupal was Ravana in his previous life. He did conquer heaven. Almost, you know, he was conquering different planets. And before that, he was here in Yaksha. Yeah. So, whose brother did conquer heaven? But when you take birth in a later age, then there's less power available. Yeah. It's like now, we can have all the machines in the world, but if the municipality doesn't supply any electricity, we can't use them. So you may have so much karma, but you take birth in a time where there's no potency available, then you can't do much. Okay. Thank you all. Glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.